All right, just getting it started with a little intro music there a little bit with the nice scream on the other end of that. You like that?
I love it.
All right, well, so this is the inaugural, I guess is how you pronounce it, recording.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Recording of the P-Dub Squared podcast. It's something that actually you came up with to kind of record some of the conversations that you and I both have had and kind of deal with things around that. You know, topics that we go over generally, I mean, we kind of talk about sports, right? So, I mean, it's probably what we're going to talk about most of the time, but I don't want to limit it to that. I think we could talk about whatever we want, and do those kind of things. So as far as, who we are, again, my name is Paul Warner and your name is also?
My name is Paul Warner, P-Dub Senior.
Yeah, P-Dub Senior. And I'm not a junior, which is odd for probably most people who are listening. But anyway,
we're still P-Dub 2.
Yeah, P-Dub number 2. One thing I want to kind of talk about at the top of this and kind of lay the foundation for is talk about what teams we're affiliated with. That way, if anybody's listening, they know what homers, you know, we're homers for certain teams and things like that, and how that's going to bias some of our opinion, obviously. We'll try not to be biased on things and do everything the way that, you know, unbiased and try to be as fair as possible. But obviously, if it's dealing with a team that you're involved with or a team that you have followed for your entire life, it's going to be difficult to be unbiased completely about. So I'm going to go down the team affiliations here. You just say what it is and then I'll say mine afterwards. Okay.
Gotcha.
All right. So the NFL team that you're affiliated with.
The Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
From my childhood up until I'm an old man.
So now.
Now.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
My NFL team, New York Giants. I've been a New York Giants fan since I was probably like 6 years old. I remember seeing them on TV, and it's just been, I don't know why. That's just why I don't have any good explanation for it. I'm just that. As far as your MLB team?
The Dodgers.
Yeah. Los Angeles Dodgers. Again, not really sure why you're a Dodgers fan, but, you know, that is what it is. Baltimore.
I can't really give you an exact answer why I'm a Dodger fan, but we'll go back as to why from each team, and I'll give you a little story later on.
Okay. For me, MLB team, been a Baltimore Orioles fan as long as I can remember. It was the local team. The Washington Nationals didn't exist at the time, and I like the DH, so I wouldn't be a Nationals fan anyway. How about National Hockey League?
I used to, back in the days, used to like the Montreal Canadiens, mm-hmm. but probably within the last 10 years, I switched up with the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, I was a Penguins fan, as long as I can remember, with about the time with Mario Lemieux and Yamir Yager, but as of, I'm not really a big fan of NHL anymore, but if I had to say what fan base I probably would say the most, it's going to be the Washington Capitals as well. As far as the NBA, where do you stand?
I go back, way back, with the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, LA Lakers.
Yeah, I am also an LA Laker fan, but that is primarily because you're an LA Laker fan, and I don't watch a lot of basketball. I'll catch it with March Madness, which we'll get into a little bit later, but it's just not really my big focal point as far as sports go. Here's a new one. A lot of people haven't defined their allegiances yet, so we'll get into that. But how about the Alliance of American Football? AAF.
I'll go with the Birmingham.
You go Birmingham Iron. I mean,
on that one.
Yeah, I'm a Birmingham Iron fan. It's a hometown team. You know, it's fun to watch and see some of the players from the various college teams, and guys get that second chance. So I'm also going for the Birmingham Iron here. NCAA affiliations. Which team's there?
Carolina all the way.
Basketball, though, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, how about NCAA football?
With the football, I go, once again, there was a controversy when the Penn State Sandusky thing came out that I used to be a big-time Penn State fan. Since y'all moved to Alabama, You broke me into the Alabama Roll Tide.
Yeah, a little bit of Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so I got to go with Alabama, so I'll go with Alabama on that one. Yeah.
NCAA, I'm a, you know, football, for sure, Alabama. As far as basketball, I waver between Alabama and UNC. And then also a little bit of the UAB Blazers. We've gone to a couple of their games, and it's kind of fun to get out there and to watch them play and stuff. And they're generally pretty good. So, you know, so that covers our affiliation. So if anybody's listening to this, they can always go back to this episode and kind of find out where our, you know, biases are and talk about whether or not we're a homer for some team or whatever. But either way, we're still going to chat the same way that we do.
I love that word, homer.
Yeah. I mean, the homerisms.
Right. Am I a homer or am I not a homer?
Exactly.
We'll find out as we go on, right?
Yeah, yeah, very much so.
Okay.
As far as the name of the podcast, we kind of covered it a little bit at the top. We're going to call it the P-Dub Squared. People have called you P-Dub for as long as you can remember. People are clearly not that creative and have called me P-Dub for as long as I can remember. So we just kind of said P-Dub Squared because it's like two times the P-Dubs or whatever. However you want to interpret that, but that's kind of where that came from. As far as the format goes, again, really, we're just going to talk about whatever we want on a given week. We'll have some special one-off episodes if something comes up, like for instance, recently that Bryce Harper contract, that would have been a really fun episode to kind of do as a one-off, just to kind of riff back and forth without any, no research, just kind of how do you feel about it? You know, you've seen it in the news and all the fanfare around that. Ultimately, we're going to have a couple of topics each week, but we're just going to riff and do a little bit of research to try and sound like we know what we're talking about. But we don't have like a team of researchers. We're just going to call it like we see it. We're going to probably get a lot of stuff wrong, but you know what? We're just here to have fun and just kind of record our conversation. So it is what it is. I figure at some point we'll invite some friends to talk about topics that we know that they kind of know a lot about and that they could add a little bit of flair to the podcast a little bit. But ultimately, we're just going to do whatever we want, right? There's nobody telling us that we can't do anything. So, anything else you want to add to that?
And I was going to get rid of that. I'd like to add that how this ever podcast came about was, you know, me and P-Dub Jr., we just, when we call or text or whatever, we just send out little texts and phone calls to talk about the sports of what's going on, and we, you know, little short tidbits about what was going on, and it kept on going. So one night we were just talking on the phone and we talked for like 15-20 minutes and on one subject, and another subject led to another, and we just sort of got into it. And I was like, you know what, this sounds pretty good on what we're talking about, you know, we ought to start our own podcast. And that's where it went, that we decided to go ahead and let's try this out and see where it goes. And that's where we stand right now on enjoying what we talk about, which is mainly sports. And we talk about other things, of course, within ourselves. But sports is our main thing to talk about, and we really enjoy our conversations on whether we, you know, with our opinions on what we say and what we agree with usually is not the same, but we'll see where this is going to go once again on agreeing with each other. So it's probably not going to be agreeing all the time because I don't know, that's just how we are sometimes on sports, but we're going to see where this is going to go. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. I think it's going to be pretty fun. Also, I'm pretty sure that at some point at every podcast, there's going to be somebody who's going to either come into my office or you're going to hear them in the background. So, you know, if that gets on your nerves, I apologize, but there's very little things I can do with that. I got 2 6-year-olds running around here, and then my wife's got stuff going on as well. So, it's just life, and life happens sometimes. So with all that, let's get into some of the topics that we have. So the first one that I have here is March Madness is coming up, right? We've got the bracket selections and everything like that. And something I thought that would be really kind of cool to do for one of our podcasts in the next couple of weeks would be to actually do our bracket live and talk about, kind of talk through that. I think we could probably do a whole episode around us picking teams and stuff. I've got a couple of them that I'm doing for work and entering for that. And so I think that'd be kind of fun. What do you think?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Okay. Let's get into it.
Sounds good. Yeah, so I think the bracket or the actual teams get released on the 17th, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. It's the Sunday. And so we'll do our brackets on the 20th, which will be, by this count, will be like episode 2. Okay. As far as getting into some of the topics, some of the big ones, obviously right now, MLB just kicked off. We've got spring training starting up and everything like that. Have you had a chance to look at spring training at all or watch any of the games or anything?
I haven't really watched any of the spring training games right now. They're not really showing those on TV right now.
Yeah. I've been following them a little bit. I watched an Orioles game the other day. They were playing the Red Sox or something like that. And I just kind of throw it onto a second monitor and just have it up while I'm working and things like that. As far as the Orioles are concerned, they look pretty good right now. They're above 500 as far as spring training goes, which everybody knows spring training doesn't really mean much as far as, you know, stats or anything like that. But it's just kind of fun to see how the teams are and see how some of the players are going. Right now, the Orioles are kind of doing Oriole things, right? They hold strong for the first 5 innings, and then some reliever comes in and they just blow it. They completely let up, you know, 5 or 6 runs and just kind of blow the game. But ultimately, they're winning games right now. They look pretty good. I'm actually pretty excited for what the Orioles have in stock with the farm and everything like that, which I know we don't have a great farm club, but we got a lot of great young guys who are going to come in and actually get a shot this year with Machado leaving, Adam Jones, and things like that. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Outside of other teams, I don't really pay much attention to other teams in baseball really at all. I wouldn't consider myself to be overall a baseball fan. I found myself to be more of an Orioles fan, but I do during the year follow the Orioles pretty closely. Continuing on with baseball, we've got 3 major contracts that came through the wire within the last week. So I guess we'll get into that a little bit. So we got Harper with his groundbreaking historic contract, 13 years, $330 million. We have Machado with 10 years, $300 million. And then we've got Nolan Arenado, who a lot of people may not know, but he's a phenom over in the Colorado Rockies, who got an 8-year, $260 million contract. And I'll let you kind of talk a little bit about those if you'd like to at the top of this.
Yeah, one of the big acquisitions was with Harper going to the Phillies. Originally, with our introduction, with me being a Dodger fan, I actually thought that we were going to sign him, to be honest with you, with a little bit of a shorter term contract, roughly 5 years, because the Dodgers just don't believe in a long term 10-year, 13-year contract that Harper and Machado actually ended up signing.
Yeah, but and, I mean, would you say that you think that kind of hurt them within the process, though?
No, you know, you say you're asking hurting them. No, because, you know, the Dodgers the last 2 years have made the World Series without Harper, without Machado, without Arenado.
Well, now, now let's be clear. Not true. They had Machado last year.
Okay, for one third of the season, which we could have made it still without Machado.
Right.
So that's true. But you know, with the Harper deal, he's actually making less money. He's like the 11th player in 2019 on the salary. Of money wise,
you're talking about as far as how much he's going to get paid this year, $25 million,
as opposed to players like Matt Serger from Washington. Two Washington players are making more than him this coming up year. Matt Serger at $42 million, and Steven Strasburg at $36 million. Harper making $25 million per year. Yeah, in the long run, he's going to be happy anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and so for me, between all three of the contracts, my favorite contract of all three of them would be Arenado's 8-year, $260 million. The big piece for me that I like about this is that he has an opt-out in the third year. So if after 3 years he thinks he can go somewhere else and get some more money, you know, he can do that. Or if he's looking to go somewhere else where, his skill set. He's one of the best third basemen. It's really, really tight between him and Machado as to who the best third baseman is. You're going to get a lot of people that are going to say that Machado is a better third baseman. Because when you're looking at their stats, right, you're looking at Arenado, he's got a 291 average, 346 on base, and then a slugging 539 overall, 885 on base plus slugging over 6 seasons. You got Machado, who's 282, 335, 47 slashing with an on base plus slugging, which is kind of my stat as far as batters go of 836. They're super comparable. And then you look at their defense, they're equal. It's hard to judge defense in baseball, obviously, but they're very comparable there as well. And, you know, Arenado took an 8-year, 260. That's a $32 million he's going to make this year. Machado took the 10-year, $300 million, but he also has an opt-out in the fifth year. The most interesting thing about all three of these contracts to me is that Harper took that 13-year. He has no opt-out. No trade clause. He is in Philly for as long as he wants to be in Philly, and that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. He's in charge on that one.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean that's very very impressive. And I mean it goes to show that we were kind of talking about this last week or whatever. You know, there's not a lot of players who go to a team and they stay with a team and they're there, throughout their career. With baseball, you have guys like Ken Griffey, you got guys like Cal Ripken Jr. Some of the top players of our time who have gone to a team and stayed with a team for their entire career. Harper's not going to say, obviously he can't say he's been with the Phillies for his entire career, but he chose to go to Philly and he has the opportunity to be there for the long run. One of the other big things with Harper that was kind of telling is as soon as they announced that he was signing with the Phillies, they sold 100,000 additional tickets in one day. That's insane. That is a world record. And I believe he also sold I can't find any numbers on this specifically, and I think it's because the group that actually sells the jerseys doesn't release the actual numbers, but they indicated that Harper broke the 24-hour record as well.
And he's making some of the royalties off of that.
I don't know. I honestly don't know how that works as far as the merchandising money goes. But,
I'm sure that's in small writing in his contract.
Yeah. If it is, that's awesome for him. But he beat LeBron's record from before. But again, they wouldn't make any kind of comments about what the actual numbers were. The Machado deal, man, I go on record, I say Machado was my favorite player. I kind of changed that after he got traded, not because he got traded to the Dodgers, but kind of the way he acted during his time there.
And I think Machado actually made his bed and slept in it too by some of the so-called quote-unquote dirty plays that he made. Now, and this was one of our conversations the other night, did he do this and did he do that? Did he step on the guy's foot and did he do it on purpose? And some of the other plays that he's done, sliding hard into
second bases.
Yeah. He's starting to make his own name as a dirty player.
Yeah, he's like trying to be the heel of baseball and be the bad guy. And, here's the thing. Ultimately, he pulled a $300 million contract. That's money that you and I will never fully understand at all. Ever, ever, ever. Right? So we can sit here and we can criticize him and we can say, he shouldn't do that. That was stupid. He ruined his value. He pulled a $300 million contract in the end, right? One of the things that I wanted to touch on, though, was some of the comments that he made towards the O's front office, right? So this is a direct quote from Machado. I forget the actual publication that did it, but it's all over the internet. So direct quote, "The Dodgers last year, they showed me some love. The Orioles drafted me. I did a lot for that community. I did a lot for the state, and they didn't show me a little bit of love. It is what it is, but going over to L.A. giving up a lot of prospects for me, that kind of shows you what I meant to them, which is amazing." So here's my thing, okay? So my response to that, because a lot of people are going to say, well, the Orioles treated him wrong. They did him wrong by not giving him the big contract that he was looking for to be able to stay there and be basically Cal Ripken Jr. 2.0. But, correct. Again, comparing him to a comparable player who also got a comparable contract, Nolan Arenado, right? Arenado got the same money, give or take about $1 million, as Manny throughout his career at both places, right? So Colorado paid Arenado a minimum $500,000, league minimum, until they didn't have to pay him league minimum anymore. His first arbitration, they paid him $5 million, then $12 million, then $18 million. Over the time before
deservingly.
This... Correct. Absolutely deservingly. Over the time before he came up with this last contract, his time at Colorado, he got paid around $37 million. Orioles paid Manny the same way. League minimum until they couldn't. $5 million in his first arbitration, $11 million, and then $16 million in his last arbitration. So he made around $34 million in his time at Baltimore. Now, here's the thing. The Orioles offered Manny double what he got through that process in his second year playing for them. So in the second year when he would have been paid $500,000, the Orioles came to him and indicated that they wanted to pay him like $64 million was the number that they came up with. Had Manny have signed that contract, he would have made the same money he's making now, but he would have made it earlier. So he made $34 million over the course of the contract or the time that he was in Baltimore. Had he signed that eight-year contract, he would have signed it for $64 million, and he would have one more year left on the contract right now, which would put him at what he's making now, $30 million. So it would have came out really close to what he's making now. So for people to say that Manny was treated poorly, or that, you know, the Orioles weren't willing to spend money to keep Manny, I think it's a really tough statement to stand by, and I'm open for people to prove me wrong,
I haven't heard Baltimore's other side of the story on that one.
You mean on this particular free agency?
Yeah. With Machado stating that, you know, Baltimore, I guess, didn't pay him what he thought that he was worth at that time to pay him, but Baltimore actually was willing to pay him double on that.
Yeah, but I don't think the Orioles aren't going to respond. One, it's a new front office now. You've got Mike Elias there as the general manager. You've got a new manager. It's just a completely different front office, and it's null and void, honestly. The fact of the matter is the Orioles weren't going to pay him the kind of money he wanted in free agency anyway at this point. So it just, it kind of is what it is.
He was definitely gone out of Baltimore, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. He was not staying there. On the flip side of things, you have Arenado. He's literally the face of the Colorado Rockies. And, they showed him some serious love. That contract is fantastic. I really, really do love the contract. I like him a lot as a player. And to be perfectly frank, I almost became a Colorado Rocky fan over this contract. I really, really like him. I've seen them play a couple of times, and I enjoy watching them. Their stadium is always fun to watch because they've got massive home runs coming out of there. But I've been an Oriole fan for as long as I have, and I'm not going to turn my back on them just because they're in a rebuilding season, and it's looking bleak. I really do like that, and I thought that was great for Arenado. Let's see. So the next kind of topic of discussion is the contracts themselves. Do you think they're worth it? I'll let you kind of take that.
Well, you know, my opinion on all of these players, with what they're getting paid, they ought to be enjoying the game. You know, you go on and watch the post interviews after they lose, in their contract, they have to do their interviews.
Right.
On post-game. Okay, that's in their contract on every player. And they just look so sad. I'm sorry, but like they want to cry just because they lost that night. You know what? You're making $30 million a year. Enjoy it.
Yeah, but part of it is, let me interject a little bit. Part of it is, though, that they are like ultimate extreme winners. They didn't get to where they are by being okay with losing.
Competitors, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know.
That's okay.
You can continue.
But then again, it goes back to where if they lose, they point fingers, you know, on whether it be the referees, whether it be their teammates, whether I want to go somewhere else, you know, like Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving's probably going to be leaving soon from from Boston. And these players are making this much money. Just go, you know, just be happy with what you're doing and pick your teammates up on the next game. You know, don't complain about one call or two calls on the referee, or, you know, the play wasn't called to you, or, you know, if a player didn't take the shot that he was supposed to take. Just enjoy the game.
Yeah,
It's getting to the point to where I watch these post interviews after the game, and you know it goes with the Kevin Durant's and the Kyrie Irving's and the LeBron James even nowadays, that it's just getting so depressing on what they want to say after the games when they lose.
Yeah, but I mean. That was very similar, and you hear a lot of these stories about guys like Michael Jordan who were very similar. Like, when they lost, it was devastating. Like, they were not good losers, right? They were very, very sore losers. All of these guys who are these extreme winners, super competitive, they got to the place that they are now because of that competitive spirit, because they wanted to win every game. And when they lost, they wanted to get back, and they wanted to get into the gym, and they wanted to work on whatever it was. Now, I will agree with you a little bit on the fact of when they start to blame officiating crews and, you know, the play calling of the, you know, our management or whatever the case is, or, you know, XYZ won't go out and get me a good wide receiver, or, you know, things like that. But in the end, you know, when everybody's playing their best and you still lose, I can see where these guys, you know, kind of get a little bit upset about it and things like that.
Yeah, well, you get these Anthony Davises, who's been with New Orleans for, you know, 6-7 years. And you get the Paul Georges, who was with Indiana for so many years. Yeah, you know, they had their ups and down years. But when you come out into the media and say, you know, this is not fun, I want to be traded.
Right.
In the media, in my opinion, you need to keep that internally within, you know, the front office, letting your general managers and coaches know that you're not happy, and go from there and see where it goes. But don't bring it into the media and let everybody know that, you know, guess what? You're a crybaby once I hear about it.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the difference between, you know, a leader and somebody who's just, you know, a prima donna on a team.
Well, do you see Mike Trout? What a professional he is with the Angels.
Yeah, but
is
he
on a winning team? No, he's not. But he's the best player in MLB.
Baseball.
And he's not asked to be traded. But, you know, Harper right now is asking him to come to Philly, which he's probably going to get fined heavily for that.
Possibly, yeah.
For tampering.
Yeah.
On the tampering rules. And, you know, Mike Trout, I've never heard a single whimper out of him about him losing, and he's got another professional on his team, Albert Pujols. I haven't heard him whimper a single little word out of his mouth in the interview about wanting to go somewhere else. You know, sooner or later, yeah, Mike Trout's probably going to go to Philly. He might even go to L.A. He might go to Boston. He might go to the Yankees, who's supposedly going to try and break the home run records this year. Yeah. But you know what? Just play your game, enjoy the game, and you know, shut your mouth.
Yeah, but here's the other side of that, though. Using Mike Trout as an example specifically, so I'm on a lot of the baseball subreddits and things like that online, like forums and things. And you know, Mike Trout, he is undoubtedly the best player in professional baseball right now. But he gets a lot of crap from MLB commission in like trying to get him to be more vocal. Not necessarily vocal indicating that he's upset or pissed off about how his team is performing, but more talking about you know, just being vocal, being out there, being active on Twitter, engaging with the fans, being the face of baseball. He is so good at baseball that he should be the face of baseball. When you go and you talk to casual sports fans, I'm not talking about casual baseball fans, because even casual baseball fans are going to know Mike Trout, right? I'm talking just casual sports fans who generally probably play Madden, like NFL, do fantasy football, but just errantly hear about MLB. They may or may not know who Mike Trout is, right? Like, or if they do know who Mike Trout is, they don't understand why he's so impactful and why he's so fantastic for baseball. And that's a problem.
He's so impactful and he's so quiet.
Right, but that's a problem for baseball. They're having an issue right now
but
with
it's
getting
not, it's
individuals.
Not from Mike Trout.
It's not from Mike Trout specifically, okay? But it is him not being active on Twitter, him not being active with the community and things like that. Baseball has difficulty with the younger crowd right now.
I'm sure he's active in the community.
Oh, well,
you know he is.
No. I'm not like active in the Los Angeles community around the stadium. I'm talking about active in like the baseball forums and talking on Twitter and things like that. Different community.
Sure.
But because of that, so like the younger generation, it's going to be a big deal for baseball coming up with the younger generation not being as interested in baseball. It's a slow game. I'll agree. I like it. It's fun to watch. I like to drink a beer and watch it. It's social. I can talk to people while I'm doing it. But a lot of people would prefer to watch something like football, or would prefer to watch something like, you know, hockey or something like that, and basketball as well, because it's fast-paced. There's always something going on. There's a lot of waiting in baseball.
But once he goes and starts onto the Twitter and all that other stuff, that he's going to hear a lot of the negativity toward that.
Sure.
That's all.
You just have to remember. You just have to learn not to read the comments. Nobody reads the comments. You just go and you post stuff. You post pictures of you working out. You're in the batting cages. You're, you know, knocking out home runs out of you know, out of the stadium and things like that. Or you're back there, you know, talking to your pitchers and things like that, hanging out with the crew and other people who are in baseball. It's just something I think he could do a little bit better that would help with the image of baseball in general. And it has nothing to do with being a whiny baby or anything like that.
But I just think the way he carries himself as a professional, just like back in the days, the way the other players used to carry themselves.
Yeah.
You used to never hear the negativity like Magic. Blanishment, that they blame, get me somebody else. No, you never heard that. Now you just hear from Kyrie Irving, you hear it from Durant, you hear it from, you know, all these players to trade me to another team. All I want to do is win. You know what? It's not about always winning. It's about making everybody else around you better.
Yeah.
And to build your foundation of your team to make your team better. It's not about you. It's not about you. That's all you hear about now. And I want to be traded to another team is BS, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, when a team sits there and pays you $330 million, though, it's pretty close to being about you.
Yeah, but you got paid $300-something million throughout your contract, knowing that it's not about you, it's about the team that they're building around you.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying, but It's just, every single day you can always hear post interviews about them whining about, we got to get better.
Yeah.
We need to get better. That's what I hear. We need to get better. Well, you know, we is the correct answer. But you know what? If you're the leader of the team, you need to make them better as individuals and on a team.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then, you know, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to play up to your capabilities. And you know what? You're going to ask to be traded to another team and start over from Cleveland to Boston to probably next team Kyrie's going to go to is Golden State just to win another championship. And that's not the way sports should be.
Yeah, absolutely. So one final little thing I want to talk about on baseball before we move on to the next subject. I noticed Kershaw, your boy, he's not going to be ready for opening day. He's going to break an 8-season streak of being the opening day starter for the Los Angeles Dodgers. How you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't feel good about it. But
have they said who the starter is going to be yet? Have you seen? I haven't seen.
No, not yet. But you know, he was the predicted opening starter, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen with the inflammation and everything on the shoulder. But you know, a good thing is it's not an elbow.
Yeah.
You know, shoulder. You know what it is exactly. I don't think it's actually come out as to exactly what it is, but I think we're going to be all right. He'll, you know, even if we take it slow during spring training and everything, and limit his pitches during either it be simulated games or, you know, spring training games or whatever. I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's only going to miss a couple of starts, so it's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
All right, so on to the NFL. And this is a big one that you wanted to talk about. It was one of your big things when we were talking, kind of getting the sound that checked out the other day. You really wanted to make sure that we covered this. And this is the big chest controversy, old Antonio Brown. I looked at it. I was not aware of this. Again, I don't really watch ESPN every single day or anything like that. So I actually missed this story. When I saw the post on Instagram after you told me, and I kind of feel like it's just classic Antonio Brown type of antics, right? And I saw this. I saw a thing from Larry Fitzgerald, a comment that he made, and I thought this was kind of telling, right? So he said, "I love AB. Mr. Big Chest is a good friend of mine. But I don't think he's going about it the right way, personally. To be able to play with an all-time quarterback like he's able to play with, I don't think he understands how good he has it. It can get tough out there." Now, Larry Fitzgerald is making this comment is very, very special. And here's the reason why.
Hall of Famer.
Not even that. He's a guy who's caught at least one pass from not 5, not 10, 19 different quarterbacks. Okay, Larry Fitzgerald is a guy who knows how important
it
is.
How many AB hats?
One.
One.
Yeah, he's got one. Ben Roethlisberger. Well, I say
like
that.
6 or 7 or 8 or 9 different quarterbacks that have played when he has played Antonio Brown, and he's caught no other touchdown passes.
Well, I say that, but has he? Ben Roethlisberger. And I don't know the answer to this, and I'm going to let you kind of get into how you feel about Big Chest while I'm looking this up. Has he ever – he's been in Pro Bowls, right?
Yeah.
So I imagine he's had to have had some other quarterbacks who've thrown to him there. So you go into that. I'm going to look that up while I'm waiting for it.
Yeah, but he's played with multiple quarterbacks. And like I was saying – 6, 7, or 8 of them, I don't know the exact number of them, throughout his career. Of course, his main quarterback has been Ben Roethlisberger, but he's only caught touchdown passes from Big Ben. The other quarterbacks that he's played with, he has 0.
Right. And so it's going to be very interesting, right? He's for sure looking for a trade here. He wants to go somewhere else. He thinks he can do it, but he's also I mean, he's been talking like this for a long time. This isn't something brand new that he's just come up with. He's talked about it in the past, saying that he didn't feel like Ben Roethlisberger gave him enough looks and things of that nature. And it's just, it's all been, so they clearly, they don't have a good relationship, right? Like they're, whatever it is, whatever the issues are that they have in the locker rooms, it shows for sure in the media with these guys. And I mean, it's just, it's getting to be, it's coming to a head, and you're going to see Mr. Big Chest. He's going to go on to another team, and we're going to see how good he does there. He may do great. Maybe he jives well with the quarterback. Who knows?
Yeah. When you come out with a statement during this interview that he's on the treadmill and working out, and he has his phone, and I guess he's Skyping or whatever, or online, and he's saying, you know, any NFL team that wants to call me, you know, give me a call. I just want to win. And then, like, the next day or two, he did another interview where he's sitting down and everything. He's talking about, well, you know, whatever team picks me up, it's going to be my way. Well, guess what? You're in the NFL. These are multi-million dollar owners that are not going to listen to that it's going to be my way. Guess what? It's going to be the owner's way.
Yeah, talk. Look at Terrell Owens. Perfect example.
General manager's way. It's going to be the owners, general managers, and coaches. Not, you know, Antonio Brown's way. What you want to do, and you know, if that's the case, they're not even going to mess with you.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there's going to be contract stipulations for if he has, you know, issues with the organization, to where they can try to figure out ways to get out of this. Because they're already looking at it and seeing that he's going to be one of those types of players. He's going to be a prima donna. Yeah. He's going to be somebody that they've got to be constantly on top of all the time. And, I mean, it's just one of those things where they don't want to deal with it. And if they can get, if they can write it into the contract, a way for them to get out of it, and so they don't have to deal with his ass, then, I mean, they will, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that's kind of the Big Chest. Mr. Big Chest, he wants to be called Mr. Big Chest. He's not AB. It's, you know, whatever. It's fun. He's not quite putting it on the back of his jersey, Ocho Cinco style, yet. But we'll see if how far he takes the Mr. Big Chest stuff.
Yeah. And it's starting to come down to where, you know, some of these professional teams, whether it be baseball, basketball, football, or whatever, if you screw up and you want to run your mouth and you want to think that you're bigger than the team, you know what? A lot of these teams ain't even going to touch you.
Yeah.
Once again, the controversy with the Kaepernick thing. Why did not anybody ever pick him up?
Oh, because he sucks.
You say he sucks. Yeah. So he's a better quarterback than a lot of these second-string quarterbacks out there, okay? The main thing is because it's all about him and what he thought that he was standing up for, but
yeah,
it was the wrong thing.
But I'm, even
most
so,
the owners thought he, about. And he obviously he won the collusion, which nobody knows the total dollar-wise of the collusion.
With Nike?
The collusion with the NFL.
Oh, really?
On money wise, on what he won.
Well, the thing is, though, even if let's say he's better than some of the second strings that are out there, the amount of money that he wants to be a second string quarterback is ridiculous. They were talking about him for the AAF.
$20 million.
Yeah, which we'll get into in just a second. Yeah, he wanted $20 million. Yeah. Those guys are getting paid $250,000 over three seasons. Like, you're not going to get
that. Do you think the AFL is going to pay him $20 million to come into their league? No.
No, absolutely not. And that leads us into that discussion. The AAF, right? New league just got started. They're into the fourth week now. They've got a little bit of playtime underneath of them. I'd like to hear your initial thoughts on the league and a little bit of that.
Well, that particular league, I haven't really watched a whole lot of it. We get here very, very little coverage of it.
Yeah.
You know, here in Virginia, and I just really haven't followed a whole lot of it.
I I followed it. I've watched two full games, and I've watched the stats for the other two games of the season. One of them I wasn't able to watch live. I was out hunting. But the thing that I heard, we'll talk about that in just a second. We'll finish up with that. But the one thing that I've noticed, and the best way that I've seen it kind of described, is you're watching professional NFL level defenses play against college level offenses, and you're seeing really, really low scoring games. You're seeing, these defenses.
Do you think that they put that format in front of the league before they started it?
You mean as far as good defenses? No, ultimately it would be very, very profitable for the league for them to be like running the scores up.
High offense.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they're saying you have to go for the two-point conversion. There's no kickoffs. You know, they've got – I like a lot of the different rules that they've got in place. The no kickoff thing is great because it speeds up the pace of play a little bit. Going forward every time for the two-point conversion is really nice because it's really exciting. That's a really great thing. One of the great things that they have is since they don't have kickoffs, they got rid of the kickoff. There's no onside kick. And the onside kick rules that they put in place are really, really awesome. They're actually, it's one of those things I could for sure see the NFL implementing at some point if they decide to get rid of the kickoff as well. So the rule is, if at any point you are down more than 17 points, you can go for a two-point conversion, not a two-point conversion, an onside kick conversion, or if you're down at all, and you're within the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. And basically what a fourth with the onside kick conversion is you get a fourth and 12 from your own 28. And so you have to convert a fourth and 12 in order to proceed and continue to basically recover the onside kick. It's been used three times, I want to say now. And I've, of the three times, I've seen it happen twice. And of those, only one of them, the team was able to convert the onside kick, if you will, the onside conversion is what they're calling it in the AAF. But it's super exciting. It's really, really fun to watch. It is tough to watch.
Have you seen the what the ratings are on that?
They were beating the NBA, at least at the very beginning. I haven't looked at it recently. For watching NBA at the same time, they were the Nielsen ratings, which again, I don't know how much, that's kind of the grand standard, but I don't know how much weight you place on that anymore these days, but it was beating that. And, I'm on both of the subreddits, for the Birmingham Iron, cause again, that's the team that I'm kind of going for. And then also AAF Underbar football. And it's pretty active. The guy, it's pretty fun. It's not toxic. You don't have a bunch of guys in there just yelling at each other, saying how bad their other team sucks. There's a lot of funny images, memes that are going on and stuff like that. So it's kind of neat.
I'm rooting for Trent Richardson.
Yeah, everybody is. But the problem is he is a fullback. He is not a running back, and he has demonstrated. Not so much in the AF, but he's demonstrated he doesn't have a very good running back vision, like the ability to see the hole and go through it. In his defense, he doesn't have a fantastic offensive line with the Birmingham Iron. You're seeing similar activity from their quarterback, Luis Perez, who doesn't get a lot of time in the backfield to kind of let the play develop and allow his receivers to open up. He constantly has to check down because the offensive line is just overpowered by these defensive lines. And again, it's these professional NFL style defenses, NFL level defenses that are playing these college style, college level offenses, and it's just showing that it's difficult to score against the NFL level defenses. From if you're playing with players who are on the level of college football, so I think it's an interesting kind of concept. I like a lot of what's going on. I like the affiliation with the NFL, so it's all pretty good.
And that's a good thing. It's almost like a AAA, like
a little bit
East Coast hockey, like with hockey and AAA and baseball. So yeah, that's a good thing, and the D League with basketball. So
absolutely. Well, we're wrapping up here on 50 minutes. We were hoping to keep this between 30 and
One thing I want to close out with you is what is your opinion with the draft coming up, with Arizona having the number one pick, with the quarterback Josh Rosen as their quarterback right now, with their coach during the interview was asked this. Is Josh Rosen your quarterback? The coach replied that, yeah, he is right now. and a couple of teams are inquiring about Josh Rosen. What's your take on Kyler Murray?
At
number one.
Yeah, my experience with Kyler Murray, I've got a little bit double-sided one because I'm a baseball fan. And I personally think he would have been better off going and playing baseball. His college stats for baseball look pretty good. Obviously, he's a phenomenal athlete, right? I just don't see him. I see him kind of like a lot of the other quarterbacks who've come out of college and been Heisman quarterbacks and just aren't going to make it, right? They want to run too much. Again, going back to the AAF and with these NFL caliber defenses, the defenses are so fast, and they don't play the way college defenses do. College defenses are very static. There's a lot of different lanes that they stay in. Professional NFL defenses, these safeties and these cornerbacks, they're free to kind of move left and right and move around because of how fast they are. These guys run sub 4.440s. Okay, like they are really really fast. And a guy who looks like in college you could have threaded the needle and got it past him, he's going to pick that ball, or he's at least going to get some fingertips on it and make it an incomplete pass. I love being proven wrong when it comes to player discussions like this and making decisions on whether or not Kyler Murray is going to be great for two reasons. One, I think that Tua Tagovailoa should have won the Heisman. But all things aside, Kyler Murray won it, and now he wants to go play football. Money-wise, it's probably the better deal for Kyler Murray. He's going to get paid directly coming straight out. He's going to probably, if he goes to Arizona, he's going to start. That gives Arizona some room to trade their quarterback and try to give him maybe AB, right? Maybe they get Mr. Big Chess and they give him someone that he can target. There's a lot of different things that you could see happening there. But, I kind of don't put too much stock into the draft until it gets a lot closer. We'll see kind of what happens there.
Yeah, there was an ex-GM from the NFL that was stating that with Kyler Murray, that his study habits, his board work with the X's and O's, even leadership habits are just not there. There were three teams, actually, that interviewed him that they just stated that he's just not where he should be coming out as the number one pick.
Yeah, but I mean, you think about it, he was in college. I mean, when you're in college, you are expected to go to class. There are other things that you're responsible for and things, other commitments that you have. It's not just football. So that's a lot of things that people forget about college football as well. So that's something that can be developed. I don't think that's the biggest concern, but again, time will tell. We have quarterbacks. You have RG3, bust. You have a bunch of quarterbacks like that come out, and they're Heisman Trophy winners. They look like they're gold when they're playing in college, and for some reason, they get into the professional levels, and it just doesn't click. It's just, again, for me, I think it's the NFL defenses are too fast.
Last but not least, Carolina or Duke this Saturday with Zion probably sitting out.
Oh, Carolina all day. I thought that Carolina was at least going to play somewhat competitive with them, even with Zion in. I know that, again, my buddy, he indicated that he thought that if Zion was playing, he wanted almost a 20-point spread to be able to take even a friendly bet with his buddy. So, for me, Carolina has always been a storied school. I don't know if you've seen the stats on that. If you look it up, the all-time stats between Carolina and Duke, they're close if not tied for wins losses. They're close if not tied for points. It's crazy. So, nonetheless, that's kind of where I stand on that.
Yeah. Okay.
How about you?
Well, with that, I'm going with Carolina. Yeah. We moved up from back in the pack, lower than 10, earlier in the season, ranked number less than 10, and we moved up right now. We're number 3. We're playing great ball, and I think we're going to go ahead and win the ACC regular season this Saturday, and then go ahead and we'll see what goes on in the ACC tournament and take it from there. Be a number 1 seed, hopefully.
All right. Well, sounds good. I look forward to having these conversations going forward. I thought this was a great recording. So I'm gonna play some outro music. Let's do this.
Okay.